Does anyone know what this is? A what? Did you say heat pack? Knee pads. Knee pads. No, no. I'll give you a little... Oh, that's going to give it away. There's something in there, but there's a little toggle thing on it. It is, yes, it is exactly that. This is for snacks. This is called a feed bag. A nose bag. No, yeah. This is called a feed bag. And lots of people that are involved in bike packing, or, you know, long distance biking stuff, would put a feed bag or two on their bike to be able to reach in and go, on the go. Yeah. So I'm wondering if there might be some people, if you want to, you could see if you could attach a couple of feed bags to my bike. Now, this is the actual bike I rode on my trip, which I'm going to say a bit about. But there's some bags there, and I wondered if anyone wanted to help attach some of those bags, because that might help. Libby, here you go. You might need some help. And there's something in there that you might, you're welcome to share as you work on that, if you want to. Yeah, you can do it. Okay, sweet. So, there I was at the great meeting point, alone in a crowd, anxious and excited, ready, but still preparing, with a plan, but flexible and free. Good and different things were colliding together, much like these two bodies of water. Do you know where I am? Yes, Cape Reinga, top of the North Island, where the Pacific Ocean and the Tasman Sea meet, colliding together. I love that spot. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. It's just before 9 a.m., Friday the 17th of February, and I'm about to start Tour Aotearoa, TA, a 3,000-kilometre self-supported bike trip down to Bluff at the bottom of the South Island. We soon set off, and it's a hilly 15 kilometres along the main road until we turn off onto Te Paki Road, which soon becomes an actual stream that we need to ride through and ride alongside. And that leads to the top of 90 Mile Beach, where we'd pause for photos and food out of our feed bags, not our nose bags. I paused there mainly because now is crunch time. The wind is up and it's blowing hard from the south into what will soon be straight into our faces. I look around, hoping to lock eyes with other people also looking around. I move close to peers of people, listening into their conversations to try to get a feel for if they might be looking for what I too am looking for. As the minutes pass, the not warm February air hitting me tells me I must act, as does the sand stinging my legs as it's being blown along by the wind. I'm desperate to connect. I've done enough riding to know that in these sorts of situations, tough situations, I need people. I'm not a solo rock or island, but rather an interconnected and interdependent part of a whole. And so I reach out. Actually, this is what I did. Just people. There's more people around to the side and stuff, just in ones and twos and threes. So I reach out. Hey, anybody keen to form a bunch to ride together? Well, would you guys like to work together? Can I join in? Great, there's four of us now. Anybody else? An early adopter, don't you love them, ropes some more very sensible people in. Okay, we're leaving in 1 minute. And we were off. 10 of us. And then we felt for the first time the full force of what our lives were going to be like for the next 6 hours. If we made it that far. 10 minutes in, I realised I was working pretty hard to keep up with the group. It was right near the front of everyone who'd left that day. And this is when it really dawned on me how difficult a situation I was actually in. We were very exposed. There was no hiding on this gigantic beach. There were no times to coast downhill. There was no relief from the wind. It was just constant pedaling for 84 kilometres. After 1 hour, Vinny, who had taken on leading the group, called for a 2-minute break. Whew, I was so relieved. The thought of another 4 hours, it ended up being another 5 hours, at that pace was really daunting. So here's how I survived 90 Mile Beach. At this point, there's actually 16 of us riding together down the beach into this sort of head side wind, so much so that we had to space ourselves out just to, minimise the impact of the wind. We took turns at the front where the worst of the wind was and then had a slightly easier ride as we were slightly sheltered from the wind by the riders around us. What got us through this demanding time was each other, working as a team, thanking each other for their efforts up the front when after they'd had a turn, encouraging each other on through conversation when the energy allowed and the wind didn't take our words away, and considering each other like a family, adjusting our pace, which dropped about a kilometre per hour, so as to stay together and not leave people behind. So there were 16 of us as we picked up another 6 struggling solo riders along the way. The February 17 start wave has become somewhat famous, or maybe, what's the opposite of that? Notorious? Infamous? For the difficulty and the toll it took on so many riders. I didn't hear of anybody who made it on their own. I did hear a lot of stories about people having to pull off the beach and camp the night in the sand dunes or a couple of campsites along the way just off the side of the beach a lot earlier than I'd planned to due to being utterly exhausted. When there's a mission or when just getting through the day is what's needed, we really do need other people, don't we? And during this ride, it really occurred to me that this bunch of random people working together for the good of all had been brought together by the wind. And we had many similarities with being church. So today, being Pentecost Sunday, for 2,000 years, Christians have celebrated Pentecost Sunday as it's often connected with the birth of the church, as Andy said, where God's Spirit forms and empowers disciples of Jesus into a gathering that survives extreme hardship and grows and changes the world. And we read about this in Acts chapter 2 that Margaret read out for us earlier, particularly the part where they heard what sounded like a violent rushing wind from heaven filling the entire house in which they were sitting. After Jesus had died and risen back to life again, after he'd gone back to heaven, God's Spirit, God's very self, like a rushing wind into this house and touched and filled their lives in a way that made everything different from then on. God's Spirit helped bind them together by making them a spiritual family, committed to one another in the good times and the bad times. God's Spirit helped them to grasp more of God's heart, and this led them to want to love and share this good news of Jesus with people so that they too could know and experience God's love in their lives and the goodness of being a part of the spiritual family. But God coming like the wind is where my story breaks down a bit, doesn't it? Every illustration has their weakness. It's not perfect. Because God doesn't cause hardship, of course. That's just the earth and life doing what it does, right? But God coming like a wind is a reoccurring theme in the Bible, idea in the Bible. The word for spirit in the New Testament means wind or to blow. And in the Old Testament, spirit also means wind. In the creation stories, we read that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so we get this idea that it's God's Spirit, named as a feminine word, who blows like a breath that brings life. And so at Pentecost, these ideas come together, that God breathes life into people, which brings newness, community, hope, and love. And this community is the church, with the risen Jesus Christ as our head, as our leader, in whom authority in our collective has authority in our collective life together. So here at West, you know, we see church broadly, don't we? We want to include everybody who is connecting with us in some way or another. We have open edges, so to speak. All are welcome in the truest sense of welcome. And at our core, we are highly committed. In August last year, we reshaped what those at the core are committed to. We decided on two key statements that we thought captured God's heart and our hearts. As a faith community, we at West Baptist Community Church are committed to walking in the ways of Jesus, both ways known and yet to be known. And as we walk in the ways of Jesus, we are committed to caring for one another with love. These are vitally important words for us. Walking in the ways of Jesus, ways known and yet to be known, committed to caring for one another with love. These are being the church. These are what God's Spirit at Pentecost helped breathe. So how is our walking with Jesus going? And are we open to knowing more of who ways? The Spirit's ways, the ways of Jesus, his ways. How are we caring with love? I want to finish with some words from some of Jesus' words from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Spirit is like the wind that blows where it will. You hear the sound it makes, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. Those first disciples and believers in Jesus couldn't have imagined what their lives would end up being like after the Spirit came. And if I think back to that first beach ride day of TA, I would never have thought I'd have so much gratitude for the knitting together of that random collection of people that helped us all get through. And if we reflect back on our lives, I suspect we'd be surprised at how the Spirit has been present and has led us and has grown us and held us and moved us and enabled us to keep moving forward. She moves in mysterious ways. Whilst on TA, I listened to a lot of the band U2. Their song that we started the service with is about the Spirit. What's our response to the mysterious ways of the Spirit? To be open to her? To realize and to trust? As the band sing, she wants you and you don't know why. Sometimes we don't know why, but we're wanted. And to go with her wherever she leads. Together. Mea noi tātou. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious and generous God, we thank you that the same Spirit poured out on those first believers is with us now. And is with each of us now. And not just now, but in every moment of every day. You have brought us together and formed us as your people in this place. And we ask that you continue your good work amongst us, helping us to love you, helping each other in our community. Working amongst us to help love your church around the world and love our community as you love. Please help us to hold each other well in the tough times and celebrate joyfully in the good times. And help us to be open to your mysterious ways as you blow this way and that. May we be a people who set our sails, so to speak, to travel along with you. Amen.